WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The bag's under my eyes because I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning watching Argentina spit it up. So football and football, and obviously the World Cup in action. I'm wearing my El Guapo shirt. We're not doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week because of the holiday, but man, you want to mellow out on Black Friday over the weekend, watch the U.S. play, watch any of the soccer. It's all going over at El Guapo. You get some delicious margaritas there as well. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. We'll get that back out on the road. We'll be at Fadley's next month. I know I'm going to Costas next month. It's sort of old home holiday time here, which gets me into my Rolodex. And this young lady here, she's just in the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. She's covered the National Football League and essentially the Dallas Cowboys for a long, long time. I'm not going to say like four decades, because I'm in my fourth decade here of doing sports radio. Shereen Williams now doing the thing at Pro Football Talk and at NBC after a long, long time in Fort Worth, where they once tried to corral me into a bar down there and rodeo and all that good stuff. What's going on, Shereen? How you been?
I like that you led with young lady, Nestor. Thank you for that. And then added on almost four decades of covering the NFL. So.
Well, if we're in it together, that makes me a young man.
There you go. I like that. Yes. I like that.
All right. So we're in the middle of this thing. It's Thanksgiving. Obviously, you've had a lot of Thanksgivings in Irving, now in Arlington, the last decade and a half as well. We think football, and at the turn where the Ravens are specifically, this is one of those years where we're like, okay, we're going to hold January. Might be in Kansas City, might be in Buffalo, might be in Miami. But this really is the time to look at this. And now we have trades in the league where we got Denver coming in here in a couple weeks from now. They don't have their best players. We took the Bears' best player, and we're running around with him, and they're paying him for the next 8 weeks. The league's changed, but certainly this time of the year, the preparation and the thoughts about January, we have a distinct separation here from have and have not around most of the league right now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You can see the teams that are going to be in it and the teams that probably aren't going to be in it. I look at a team like the Chargers that's sitting there at 5-5. I think they're better than that. Are they going to play better than that down the stretch? We're going to find out. That's one team I think that you look at right now that if this playoff started today, that they wouldn't be in. And I do think by the end that they get into the postseason, but they're going to have to play better than what they have. But most teams, you can look kind of at the standings, and that's who we're going to see in the postseason. You can start lining up some of these things. Okay, who's going to win this division? Who's going to win that division? And how's it going to stack up with some of those wild card teams? Frankly, they could be really good. They could be, we see it every year, they're better than the division champions are. And they go in there and they beat the division champion. We saw it last year, just one wild card game was decided by a wild card team, but that was the 49ers coming in here and knocking off the Cowboys. So every year we see that where there's some really good wild card teams that are better than those division champions. And we're going to see it again this year. There's no question about that. When you start looking at some of the divisions, especially when we look at a division like the NFC South, we all think the Buccaneers are going to get it together, but what if they are what they are right now? Then I don't see them winning a playoff game.
Well, certainly for where we are, it's a referendum every week, right? Like the Ravens didn't look so good last week. Defense looks good, but who's going to run the ball? And on a week by week, I guess we all like the 49ers this week now, all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's one week. And now this week, we hated the Cowboys after they lost to the Packers. And now everybody likes the Cowboys. And it's the same with the 49ers. But look, 49ers didn't play anybody. The Cardinals are a shell of themselves. They're not very good. They haven't been very good since they started 10-2 last season. So I want to see a little bit more from the 49ers. Now, I think they have great offensive weapons, but is Jimmy Garoppolo going to get it done? I don't know that he's a quarterback that you're going to go win a Super Bowl with, but he's certainly been there. He started in a Super Bowl, and he's gotten into the NFC Championship game. So they can get to a certain point with Jimmy Garoppolo, no question about that. The question is, can they get over that hump and win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I see your stall back behind you. Can Dak Prescott win a Super Bowl? I mean, I guess we asked this question about all of the guys. No one's questioning whether Josh Allen can win a Super Bowl, even though he hasn't, right? And certainly Mahomes, at this point, everybody's chasing him. I mean, just as for how good he is and whatever your quarterback is, it's not as good as Patrick Mahomes right now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. He's playing at a different level than everybody else. And, you know, I have an MVP vote, and right now he's the runaway MVP winner. I mean, I don't even see anybody else that's in the conversation right now. You might have had Justin Jefferson maybe in that conversation. A receiver has never won that award. Jerry Rice never even won that award. But a week ago, I probably would have had Justin Jefferson in that conversation. He had been that good and coming off the Buffalo game. And Nestor, you talk about week by week after that Buffalo game, he was so good in that game. You were talking about it. Then he comes back and has three catches for 33 yards and was not very good. So he's out of that conversation. And really, to me, the only guy that's in that conversation right now is Patrick Mahomes. Maybe that changes. But normally when we look at those MVP awards, it goes to the team that has the best record, that gets the bye. So that's one NFC team and one AFC team. Whoever gets that bye, that's usually, it's usually the quarterback from one of those two teams. That's the way it works. That's, there's no definition of MVP, but normally when you look at it, that's who it is. The team with the best record in one of those two conferences.
Well, certainly the Ravens could be that team at this point, given the schedule and the way. Yeah. I mean, when they put it up on a graphic, it's kind of tawdry. 3-7, 4-6, 3-7, 3-7, 2-, you know, and you're like, okay, where are they going to stub their toe? Now Ronnie Stanley's in question. Hamilton got banged up in the game. But more than that, the Ravens are a team that's a better team than the one that was blowing 35-14 leads 8-10 weeks ago, specifically defensively. They might get a Jabo. I mean, they're starting to stack up this defense at this point that's become formidable. And certainly against bad teams, the defense should shine even more.
Yeah, and we saw it on Sunday. That was one of the games I had, and they had a really good defense performance. And they've come a long way since earlier in the season. I had that Miami game when the Dolphins came back against them, and it is a different defense since then, which is going to help them, obviously, in the postseason. You can't be as bad as they were late in that game against Miami and expect to win a Super Bowl. You can the way they played on Sunday. They played really well defensively on Sunday, so that's going to help them. And, yeah, I agree with you. They could end up with the number one seed, the AFC. There's no question about that. They're going to need the Chiefs to be upset a couple times, but that could happen. But how disappointing is that AFC West? We all thought going into the year that, it's the division. It's going to be so good, blah, blah, blah. The Raiders and Broncos are two of the worst teams in the NFL, and the Chargers are 5-5 and have been a huge disappointment, one of the most disappointing teams in the NFL. So you're left with the Chiefs. So that's kind of been that where the Chiefs has picked up some ground is playing. They get to play the Broncos twice. They get to play the Raiders twice. And we wouldn't have said that before the start of the season, but we are saying that now. That division just hasn't lived up to what we expected to be. And they've already beaten the Chargers twice. So that's where they've kind of picked up some ground, is that division not being very good.
Well, the quarterback carousel is about to begin again, right? For the teams that don't have one or need one, or what the offseason would look like and who's going to hit the pavement. Where are you on Lamar through all of this in regard to franchising, him really wanting to be a Raven or not wanting to be a Raven, and how much money it would take? And sort of at front of school is guaranteed money in all of this. And you and I were together at the owners' meetings last March, where once this Cleveland Browns deal went down and guaranteed money, really the first kind of guaranteed money of its kind went to Deshaun Watson. We're in a weird spot right now, and I don't have a lot of predictors on the Lamar thing other than to think if that Tampa Bay job is sitting there, he may be one of the guys that NBA-ifies this thing and says, nah, I want to go play over there. You guys can do whatever you need to do and make that happen for me, because I think we're starting to get to that point with the league where guaranteed money, there are some owners that Steve Bisciotti didn't want any part of $250 million guaranteed to Lamar Jackson. I don't think if he did, he'd already be all in, because I don't know what the kids got left to prove.
Agree with you completely on that. And I do think it comes down to what Lamar wants. And if he's going to stick to his guns and say, I'm not taking anything less than, then maybe the Ravens decide to move on from Lamar Jackson and go elsewhere with their quarterback position. I mean, you know, you're only worth anything is only worth what somebody is willing to pay you, right? And sometimes when one person isn't willing to pay you, somebody else is willing to pay you. the thing with Lamar is with no agent, like we have no sense. I don't think, you know better than I do, but no sense of really what he wants. Does he really want out of Baltimore? How much does he want in guaranteed money? What does he want that contract to look like? Like there's so many details that are missing in this. But if you're the Ravens, it's just kind of the cost of doing business. He's shown you enough to show you that he is a franchise quarterback, that he can lead you to the promised land. We all think it's kind of what you were talking about. Nobody's asking about Josh Allen being able to lead the Bills to the promised land. I don't think anybody's asking about Lamar Jackson leading the Ravens to the promised land. I think he's done enough that you think he can win a championship. He hasn't done it. No, he hasn't had great success in the playoffs. No, but you've seen enough to think that he has the ability to do that for you. So there's a point when, okay, what's the cost of doing business? It's more than we want to pay. Are you willing to pay that, even though it's more than you want to pay, even though that guaranteed money is more than what you want to pay? Are you willing to do that, or are you going to want to start over and go, we're going to go find a quarterback somewhere else? That's really what it's going to boil down to in the offseason, of how much are we willing to pay? How much above that are we willing to go to keep this guy? And if we're not, are we willing to start over? And at that point, the Ravens have been very fortunate with that quarterback position. They haven't had to really, I mean, Flacco, after he signed the contract, wasn't as good, but they haven't been in that position where they've started 3, 4, 5 guys. Like you look at a team like the Panthers, they started 5 quarterbacks over the last 3 seasons. It's been a revolving carousel of trying to find that guy, trading for Teddy Bridgewater, trading for Sam Darnold, trading for Baker Mayfield, and none of those guys have worked out. You don't want to be in that position. You want to have that guy. The Ravens have that guy right now. They need to do whatever it takes to keep that guy.
Shereen Williams, she is the Hall of Famer. You can follow her out on Twitter at NFL Shereen. That's C-H-A-R-E-A-N. She's also with Pro Football Talk and covering the league as well as anybody. Man, 8 of the top 10 teams are AFC teams at this point, and I keep thinking there's going to be a treacherous playoffs. Whoever gets there and wherever the Ravens are in that rainbow of those the teams, whether they wind up getting a bye or not. But Kansas City, Buffalo, Miami has emerged. Cincinnati is there. I still don't want to have to tackle Derrick Henry on a cold night in January or go down to Nashville. And certainly he has emerged as a great coach in Tennessee too, right? So there's all of this going on in the AFC. Where are you with Cincinnati and Miami? All we talk about is Josh Allen and we talk about Patrick Mahomes. These other teams are pretty good too.
Yeah, Cincinnati's come a long way since the start of the season, and I think we've seen them improve every single week. And guess what? They're winning right now without Jamar Chase. You get Jamar Chase back in that equation, they're going to be even better. So, yeah, they're a team I wouldn't want to play in the postseason. Miami's a team I wouldn't want to play in the postseason. It's going to be a battle in the AFC. And, you know, Kansas City may get that home field where, you know, you certainly don't want to go to Kansas City and have them in a position where they only have to win 2 games to go to the Super Bowl. You want to get that number one seed if you can. I think that might be the key thing in the AFC, is to have that number one seed, to have that bye week, and to have the 2 playoff games at home. That might be the difference, because I think any of these teams can beat any of the other teams on any given Sunday. And I think a lot of them have a chance to win 3 games to go to the Super Bowl. It's just, there's some really good teams in there in that mix, and there's not going to be a bad team. Like in the NFC, I think you're going to have some bad teams get into the postseason. In the AFC, you're not going to have that. Every team that gets in there is going to have a legitimate chance to win 1 game, if not more games, in the postseason.
So, Shereen, if I would have had you on last week, all we would have talked about was the Eagles and the Vikings, right? All they have to do is stink a little bit or lose a game in Philadelphia's case and almost a game to Indianapolis. But in the case of Kirk Cousins and whatever they're doing in Philadelphia at this point, it's nice to get off to a great start, but these next couple of weeks here will start to tell me whether they're going to come back to the pack a little bit. And I don't think anybody really believes in the Vikings.
Yeah, no, I don't. And I didn't believe in them before last week. And I think they showed you kind of who they are. They're capable of winning some games that they probably shouldn't win. They're capable of beating teams that they're better than. But does anyone believe in Kirk Cousins? I'm just being realistic here. I mean, Kirk Cousins has been in the league a really, really long time. He's been with two different teams. I mean, what has he done in the postseason to let you know that he has an opportunity to lead this team to a Super Bowl? What's he done in the regular season to tell you that he has an opportunity to lead the Vikings to a Super Bowl win? I haven't seen it. And I guess that's why I've kind of been down on the Vikings, is I'm not a believer in Kirk Cousins that he is capable of getting it done. Having said all that, with the weapons they have and what they can do, again, it's a team that you might not want to play in the postseason. Now, I think the Cowboys would love to play them in the postseason. I think the Cowboys would do exactly what they did to them the other day, maybe not quite that margin of victory, but they have somebody that can stop Justin Jefferson, and I think that's one of the keys to stopping the Vikings. If you have somebody who can cover Justin Jefferson as well as Trevon Diggs did, then I think you have an opportunity to beat the Vikings and do what they did. But you're right. Like, it's week by week. We kind of find out more about these teams as we go on. We, you know, the Eagles were able to come back and win that game against the Colts. And if they hadn't been able to do that, I think we'd be sitting here going, are the Eagles really for real? Now, I picked the Eagles and the Bills in the Super Bowl before the year started. So I'm a believer in the Eagles. I think they're really good. I think they have opportunity to win the Super Bowl. But they haven't looked good these last 2 weeks. And maybe it's just one of those lulls that you hit in the season. Every team has them. You hit those kind of lulls and you pull yourself out of it and you go on. Now, they've made some really good moves too, since the trade deadline, getting Robert Quinn and then obviously signing Ndamukong Suh the other day. I think that's only going to help them. And I do think they're the best team in the NFC.
Shereen Williams is our guest. She is in deep in the heart of Texas, celebrating Thanksgiving, where they always get out of bed early on Thanksgiving Day and make their way over to one time Irving, now over to Arlington. Let's go to ownership for a minute, because, I mean, you cover the game as well as anybody I know. It's why you're in the Hall of Fame. I've done long stretches with Dan Snyder, conversations here about his future. Obviously, the Ravens have taken my media credentials without any, you know, explanation. I had Mark Leibovich on. He wrote the best book I've ever read on the NFL, Big Game, a few years ago, which I thought had some great insights, including from Jerry's bus in Indianapolis. He called it a criminal syndicate that, you know, and I start to think about them now getting involved in gambling, where they, their officials are deciding who wins bets while they're in on the bet. So I'm wondering when Congress gets involved, but certainly this Dan Snyder thing is at the heart of all of it. The ego, the infighting, the money, where they are. Dan Snyder has no friends. He investigates people, like all of the tawdry stuff going on with Dan Snyder. The other owners, the clean owners, don't want this. We go to the owners' meetings every year. I am fascinated by how the dirty laundry works and how many John Grudens wind up getting road graded in this before the government gets involved or more involved. Apparently, they're a little involved.
And how much more is out there, Nestor, that we don't know about, that we never hear about, or that comes out in bits and pieces as we go along? And I think there could be more that comes out of the Washington investigation and out of Dan Snyder's cell of the team. So I don't think this is the end of the Commanders and what we're going to hear about the Commanders and Dan Snyder, but I do think that the majority of owners want Dan Snyder to go away, and they think that's their best out and easiest out is to get him out of the league. So,
well, they need a new stadium, right? So in order to get a new stadium, they need a new owner.
They're not going
to
get one otherwise. That's exactly right. They're not getting a new stadium unless Dan Snyder's out of the picture. So that's what it's going to take.
They can't even get concerts in the state. Like, they can't get World – we lost the World Cup here. We lost the World Cup in this region because of poor ownership. I mean, it's really an incredible – it's an incredible loss from where that franchise was. And I don't need to tell you, coming in here in the Theismann era and from that period on, what the Washington football team then represented down at RFK Stadium. But I mean, I'm 38 miles away from it. And it feels like, much like from the Orioles perspective on the baseball side, it feels like it's never going to end. It feels like there's never going to be a new set of people there to make this thing right. Because I don't think the NFL ownership or Roger Goodell has been moved to make it happen, right? I mean,
I agree with you there. They haven't, but I do think there is a move now with Ursay's comments. I think owner of the Colts, I think that kind of moved it in a direction that perhaps it hadn't moved before. That was the first step. But you're right. It all boils down. I think if Dan Snyder was going to get his stadium, I don't think he would have any thoughts whatsoever about why. I mean, why would you? Like, there's no reason for him to, if you put yourself in his shoes, there's no reason for him to sell this team. If he's getting a new stadium and going to get all the revenue out of that new stadium, there's no reason for him to sell. But it's obvious that he doesn't feel like he's going to get that new stadium if he remains an owner as owner. And if he doesn't get that new stadium, then he doesn't have all that revenue coming in. And the stadium continues to get worse and worse. And it's already really bad, as everyone there knows. And fans already aren't going to games, and that's only going to get worse too. So the obvious out is to sell the team, get your money, and walk away from this. And I do think that's what we end up seeing. I do think he sells the team, and I do think he sells the team. Maybe by the next owner meetings, Nestor, you and I are sitting there, and we're talking about Dan Snyder selling this team and owners approving that sale.
Shereen, I always appreciate time well spent with you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. What's your pie preference? You got pumpkin, pecan? What are you doing down there?
Well, we're having a pecan. We have our Thanksgiving, you're right. Go to the game on Thursday. So we always have our Thanksgiving on Wednesday. So it'll be Wednesday night. We'll have our Thanksgiving.
Oh, you go early.
I will cook a pecan pie, and we'll have a little cheesecake, and we're going to eat a lot of food. Got a big turkey ready to cook. So tomorrow night will be the night.
Well, my partner's at Wise Markets. If I have my ice cream scooper, usually I pull it out. The most important three words of the holiday are a la mode. So make sure you get yourself a scoop or two on top. Enjoy the football. It's always great visiting with you. I hope to see you at the Super Bowl in Phoenix. I hope to be set up for my 28th consecutive year. I don't know if I'm a real media member or not. I have to call Mike Signore. Maybe I am. Maybe I don't know. I'm sort of I'm in media purgatory. I'm still trying to figure out what I've done wrong, but I do hope I get to see you again. There's a rumor McClain's moving to Maryland and going to start supporting the Orioles and the Nationals too. So we're watching out for that.
You might see that. He's got a house there now, so he might be spending some time on the Maryland shore.
Yeah, he's got that world championship Houston Astros hat, and they didn't even cheat this time. So I can't even give him a hard time. Shereen, take care of yourself. Have a beautiful holiday, all right?
Thanks, Nestor.
Shereen Williams, she's at Pro Football Talk and NBC. You can follow her all the way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, former president of the Pro Football Writers Association. She's at NFL Shereen. That's Charean. I am at BaltimorePositive.com, and hopefully everybody's enjoying their weekend, having a good time. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We had a $20 winner last week out of Pappas. We had great, great guests. Mike Borda came by with world champion Adam Kolarik. Also, David Steele came by his book on race, America, and activism. So you can check all that stuff out at AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.